Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Happy Monday, hockey fans. Welcome into another edition of Daily Faceoff Live. He is former NHL goaltender turned Daily Faceoff analyst, Mike McKenna. Mr. McKenna, how was your weekend?
Oh, man, it was good. There was no youth hockey to coach. I was kind of lost for a minute, but I spent some time to myself and reflected, and I just feel totally enthused for this week ahead.
I absolutely love it. It's going to be the two of us for the next couple of days. Frank Saravalli is going to be on the show tomorrow to chat a little bit about what could be going on at the NHL GM's meetings. We have a lot to get to today on the show. As always, we're streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, where we're looking for our inbox question today as well. So if you have a question, throw it out in the YouTube chat. But let's start 2 minutes and 30 seconds up on the clock, Mike, and talk about one of the big storylines from this weekend on the ice in the NHL. The Boston Bruins hitting the 50 win mark. Absolutely incredible. They are now at 50-10-5 on the season, 105 points. They are 27-3-3 on home ice as well. They've clinched a playoff spot as well, the first team in the NHL with an X next to their name. And you look at the forward group, it's deep and it's dangerous. You look at the blue line, I mean, they're healthy, scratching one or two NHL quality D-men every night. Linus Ullmark is a lock to win the Vezina. Jeremy Swayman, one of the best backups in the NHL. Mike, what's the moniker we're giving this team? Unbeatable, juggernaut, what do you say?
I would say let's temper our thoughts here, because you look at the historical context of a team that's been this good in the regular season, and it hasn't necessarily played well come Stanley Cup playoff time. Now, I also think that the Bruins have done everything they possibly could to build this club up. I love the Orlov Hathaway deal. I love bringing in Tyler Bertuzzi. The team only got better at the trade deadline. But take a look at the other teams that went and got 50 wins in 66 games. Okay, that was the 95-96 Red Wings, who lost in the Western Conference finals to the Colorado Avalanche. They went on to win. And you also had the Tampa Bay Lightning in 2018-19. With 50 wins and 66 games in the modern era. And guess what happened to them? Bounced first round. So history doesn't look great for the Bruins this year, but what it does say, the Red Wings may have lost that series against Colorado Avalanche, but they won the Stanley Cup the next 2 years. So Tyler, all we're doing here is projecting that the Bruins are going to win the Cup the next two seasons. That's all this means. It's not going to be this year. It's going to be in 2024 and 2025. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, another team that jumps into my head as a guy out in Edmonton. Remember in 05-06, that last year of Steve Yzerman, that Red Wings team, 58-16-8 in the regular season. They went into the playoffs red hot, 8-1-1, bounced in round one by the 8-seed Edmonton Oilers, who went on all the way to the Cup final. It does not guarantee playoff success this year for the Boston Bruins. But like I said, Mike, it's hard to find a weakness with this roster. Like, I don't see when their power play maybe isn't as good as it has been in the past, but like, that's it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I was being a little facetious there, obviously, and just trying to throw some caution to the wind, because the Bruins are an absolute powerhouse, man. And they have players with experience now that have done it. You look at the Cup previously, Bergeron, Marchand, you had Orlov, who's a Stanley Cup winner as well. Even Tyler Bertuzzi. I had a front row ticket to watching him win a Calder Cup in the American Hockey League in 2017 with the Grand Rapids Griffins. You know why? Because I was on the Syracuse Crunch, the team that lost to him. He was the MVP of that postseason. I can't help but think that he's ready to get some playoff time in the NHL. So I don't see the Bruins slowing down. I don't see a weakness. It's going to take a major effort from a team to knock them off in the East.
Yeah, and you look at the fact they're likely locked into that top seed in the Eastern Conference, which means they're going to get wild card number two. Okay, you're looking at what? The Islanders, Panthers, maybe the Capitals, maybe the Senators, not exactly teams that have had consistent seasons by any stretch. And then if you're Boston, you're probably sitting there going, hey, we then get to take on one of Tampa or Toronto, who will probably beat the living hell out of each other in round one of the playoffs. It's a good time to be a Boston Bruins fan. The other division leader in the Eastern Conference, well, they're struggling along right now, and that's the Carolina Hurricanes, shut out in back-to-back games by the Devils and Golden Knights, and their previous win was a 1-0 victory over the Philadelphia Flyers, which means we're now closing in on 9 periods where this team has one goal. We heard a lot leading into the deadline. Okay, are they after Ryan O'Reilly? Are they in on Timo Meier? Tom Dundon told our Frank Saravalli that he wants to get aggressive. Well, they didn't exactly get aggressive. All they got was Shane Gostisbehere, and I guess Jesse Puljujärvi as well, although he isn't much of a factor. He's not going to spark your scoring. Is there reason to be concerned about the Canes from a hockey perspective? And if you were a fan of this team, Mike, would you maybe be a little bit irked that your team didn't do more at the deadline?
I'm a little nervous, and yeah, I wish that the Canes would have taken a bigger swing at some either a rental or somebody that they could have gotten under team control into the future, and here's why. They've scored one goal in their last 94 shots in 3 games, and they've been against the Devils, the Golden Knights, and the Flyers. So it's a mixed bag, but look at the chances that you're generating, Tyler. Like, throughout the season, the Hurricanes always outchance teams when you look at the just the straight-up scoring chances. But when you start to pare it down towards high danger, things change, man. Like, 5-on-5 in the last 3 games, six high-danger chances, 11. 6 again last night against the Devils. Like, that's not going to cut it if you're trying to score. And on top of that, look at their scoring, okay? Brent Burns is their leading scorer since February 1st, followed by Natchez, Svechnikov, who's now hurt, by the way, Kotkaniemi, and then Aho. Like, where's the star power that we've always talked about? Yes, they're missing match patch already, but they needed to get more at the deadline to really contend, if you ask me. And now Gostisbehere, he's -5 in his last 4 games. He had a great first game against Tampa Bay, had a goal, 2 assists. They've got two defensemen out there now between Birds and Gostisbehere that is a goaltender. They make you a little nervous. Great offensive players, but they make you nervous defensively. I think that that team looks a little bit different, and they did not bulk up the way those other teams in the Eastern Conference did.
Yeah, like we talked about kind of that hole down the middle and how that was the spot that they probably should have looked to address a little bit, and you're going to roll into the playoffs now, like you said, with Kotkaniemi as their 2C, and I know they're thrilled with what Kotkaniemi has done this year, and they feel like he's taken a big step forward this year. A lot of people in Carolina say that hasn't been talked about enough around the league, but the point is you're going to go up against a Toronto team potentially, right? Like, you just go through the whole conference. Yeah. If you get Toronto in the conference finals or Tampa or Boston, look at what those teams can throw out down the middle. Look in your own division at what the Devils have with Hughes and Hischier down the middle, what the Rangers have with how that whole top nine looks. Their forward group just isn't on par. And then I look at a goaltending situation there where, man, I mean, neither of those two starters can stay healthy. I know Kochetkov is a great story, but there's a lot of kind of flaws with this Hurricanes team despite how good their record looks this year.
They're this good because they play so hard and they play with an identity and they come in waves. But can they finish? To me, that's the big question mark. And Freddie Anderson's been okay lately. Kochetkov's been pretty good. But they're still missing that scorer. And with Svechnikov out, man, you really see it. They're one injury away from not being able to score. That's been the last 3 games.
Yeah. Shutout in back-to-back games. One of the goalies who pitched one of those shutouts. How about Jonathan Quick, 3-0 in his first 3 games with the Vegas Golden Knights? I said when they made this deal, and everyone's always going to be pissed off and angry, I said, hey, motivation does not always lead to execution. There are plenty of motivated guys playing pro sports who just don't get the results. Their time has passed. Well, maybe Jonathan Quick is proving that a little motivation, a little fire in the belly, can lead to some execution. Look at the difference in these numbers from his 31 games with LA this year to the start of his career as a member of the Vegas Golden Knights. It is absolutely remarkable what he's done. Mike, he was good in the playoffs last year for the Kings as well when they pushed the Oilers to 7 games. So maybe he's still got that big game capability. Do you think Quick can keep some kind of run like this going? I'm not saying he's, you know, going to have a 197, but a goals against average in the twos, a save percentage in the 910 to 920 range. Can Jonathan Quick keep that level of play up, or is this just an early kind of facade?
Well, you know, Quick was good in 4 of the 7 games against the Kings in playoffs last year. We tend to forget what happened in those other 3. I was in the building for one of those when I think 6 or 7 went in. But in any case here, like, Quick has played well. He was very good against the Canes, but he didn't face a single lob and rush. And my metric was always for how a team is playing. What type of chances are you giving up? A lot of odd man rushes. That was the one thing I always worried about. He's not seeing a lot of that. And our friend at The Athletic, Jesse Granger, just posted a great article about how goalie-friendly the Vegas Golden Knights are. If you look at Natural Stat Trick, they're 24th in total chances allowed, but only 20% of those are high danger. That's the least in the NHL, just over 11 in a game. So lowest quality shot attempts by data-driven hockey. The two goalies in the league that have faced the lowest number of those are Logan Thompson and Aiden Hill per 60. So it is a very goalie-friendly place for Jonathan Quick to play, where they block a lot of shots in Vegas, and he gets to see pucks, and they tend to be from the outside. And Jonathan Quick tracks the puck well. He's got great reflexes. When he has time to react, when he can see the puck, he can still be a great goalie in the NHL. So is it sustainable? I think it showed in LA this season that he still struggles to face a lot of different situations that he hasn't been tested with yet with the Vegas Golden Knights. And he probably won't a whole lot down the stretch here, Tyler. So, you know, you may not really see Jonathan Quick get tested a whole bunch until you get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, if that's the case, because right now his numbers are almost the same as Laurent Brossoit in 3 games. You know, so you look at the goalies that have all hopped in the cage for the Golden Knights, and their numbers look pretty good. Even Yuri Patera last night, 30 for 33. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Quick's played pretty well, okay, for the Golden Knights so far. And against Carolina, really good. Is it sustainable? We're going to see. You know, the last 5 years don't say that that's the case. But behind that system, behind what Cassidy puts in front of him, Tyler, it's a really good fit for Jonathan Quick.
Be interesting to see how that goes. And man, I think every hockey fan is rooting for somehow give us Kings Golden Knights in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs, because that
pump
that
it through my veins.
It would be just remarkable. There was an interesting piece up at Daily Faceoff this weekend from our colleague Scott Maxwell, who took a look at big money D-men whose contracts just don't age well. And he listed a handful of reasons why. There's, you know, teams and how they evaluate these guys. The structure around the league of D-men kind of being underpaid as RFAs. And then, boom, they all search for that big payday. He talked about injuries and also the flat cap being a big part of this as well. And, Mike, I dug up, courtesy of our friends at Cap Friendly, these are the 10 most expensive defensemen who signed their contracts as UFAs. So we left out the Makars and the Werenskis, guys who, you know, the team paid a lot, but also bought some RFA years in the deal. And you look at this list, Mike, I mean, Carlson and Doughty have kind of flipped the switches on their careers a little bit. Carlson 12 months ago would have been considered one of the worst deals in the NHL. Now he's on track to win a Norris Trophy this year. But you look below that, Seth Jones, Darnell Nurse, both looking like overpays. You look at Ekman-Larsson in Vancouver, terrible deal. Brent Burns had to have money retained so the Sharks could find a new home for him, although he's having a really strong year. We see John Carlson this year struggling with injuries as well. I am of the mindset, Mike, that GMs should take this and learn from it a little bit. Yes, if you have a Makar or a Werenski, one of these young, a Charlie McAvoy, one of these young D-men who you go, hey, I want this guy in my organization for the next 9 years, you sign them as early as you can and you pay up, because it just feels like there's so many mistakes that come when you get the guy in their late 20s and you don't want him to walk for nothing as a UFA. You overcommit, and then in 3-4 years you're sitting there going, boy, wish we could get this contract off our books. Do you think this is a trend teams need to pay attention to, or maybe just a result of the flat cap? And if that didn't happen, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
You know, I do think it's more so just the cost of doing business, because Alex Pietrangelo is probably looking at this list and going, hey, man, I'm still good, because he's been Vegas' best player for me all season long. Dougie Hamilton's been excellent with New Jersey. But you do run into this where, and, you know, Scott laid it out really well in the article about how injuries start to take a toll, how ice time plays into it. And the bottom line is that unless you're producing a pile of points, you're not looked at as valuable any longer. You still have to be responsible defensively. But the players that make this big money, they're offensive defensemen, man. They're guys that pile up points, and that regresses as you age for the most part. Like, there's always exceptions to it. But when your body won't cooperate with you, when you can't stay in a lineup, when you move to a different team, find a different role, like, it all factors. But I think really it's just, like you said, the flat cap, it's a big part. Like, $8-9 million is cost of doing business to get a quality D. If they're on the market and you're trying to bulk up your defense, you got to pay to get it. And that's what artificially inflates the market for it. It's just like goaltenders, even though goaltenders now have been capped out at about $6 million. Now I think we're going to see D being capped out at about $8.5 million. And then if you can bury goals, hey, we'll pay you whatever. But D and goalies, you're not going to get paid the same way.
Yeah, I do think it'll be similar, right? We got Bobrovsky and Carey Price. They got these crazy huge deals, and then teams kind of went, ooh, maybe we just want to check this down a little bit. Now you're seeing the Shesterkins and the Ottingers. I know, again, RFA years versus UFA years being a difference there, but teams are starting to maybe check down that price a little bit. A good point there on if we could maybe see the same thing happen with defensemen as well. It is college UFA season for some of the teams who are out of the playoff picture, and even for a few teams that are in the playoff picture looking to scoop up the next big name coming out of the NCAA. Steven Ellis is going to stop in here and chat with the next wave.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Steven Ellis and the next wave, Mr. Ellis. There are college UFAs. Teams are wondering if they have a shot at signing these guys and if they're going to be any good. We'll start with the forward department. Which college UFA up front has caught your eye?
Well, I'll start off by saying when it comes to college free agent signings, as we've seen in the past, you're not expecting a ton of high-end quality. A guy going out there and putting up a ton of points as a senior in the NCAA is, you know, it is what it is. The first forward I want to talk about, or the forward I want to talk about, is Ryan McAllister, a winger out of Western Michigan. He's 21 years old. He actually just finished his, he's in his freshman season, I should say. And this is a guy that was challenging Adam Fantilli for the top of the scoring race in the NCAA for much of the start of the year. And going out there and putting 45 points in his first 36 games, he had a big point gap. Basically over a lot of the other players on his team. Like, this is a guy that was just doing so much for this group. And I think it's interesting because he is a 21-year-old freshman that he does have a few extra years to kind of develop. So he doesn't have to go pro right away, but he'd be interesting if he did. He went to the Leafs camp last year. He also, development camp that is, he also was dominant in junior hockey the year ago, which is not always something you kind of see guys playing much later and then going out there and being so impactful right away in the NCAA. So Ryan McAllister is a guy I'm really looking forward to seeing. And I think he could make an impact in the NHL, but at the same time, he's got that extra runway where if he doesn't sign, he'll be the top guy everyone's looking for next year.
Yeah. And, you know, Steven, it's really interesting to see how the market plays out once the season's over in college. Having been through it myself, you never knew who was going to leave your team. And I think that's become even more so recently as players have improved across NCAA hockey. And the goalie market kind of reflects that. Like, the one I'm really looking for is Devin Levi. He's a Buffalo Sabres property. He's at Northeastern. We'll see what happens. But there's also a bunch of UFA goalies that could be very intriguing. Has any of them caught your eye you think could be signing here in the next week or two?
There's one that I'm liking a lot, and that's Victor Osman from Maine. He's a 6'4" goalie, got great size, moves very well. And, you know, the one thing when watching him, he never really puts himself out of position. He's very positionally sound, and you kind of expect that from a bigger goalie, but he's athletic. And this is a guy that a year ago, you know, Maine was one of the worst teams in college hockey. And then this year, everything kind of changed where he really brought that team up a big step. So he faces a ton of shots. He's faced a lot of shots in his career. And, you know, when he was in his draft year a couple years ago, not a lot of people were paying attention. But I feel like he's just become more consistent game to game. Confidence is such an important thing for goalies. And he just looks like a guy that's playing with something to prove out there. So I think he'll be one teams looking at.
So we talked about goalies, we talked about forwards. What about on the blue line? Is there anyone that stands out in a meaningful way? The next Matt Gilroy, Justin Schultz?
Well, that's not the highest quality company to be in that case. But I'd say the best guy that teams are really looking at this year is Jake Livingstone out of Minnesota State. Teams love big defensemen. He's 6'3", he's over 200 pounds. He doesn't skate like a guy that's that big, though. He skates really well, very smart with the puck. He just actually had a 4-point night over the weekend. So it's someone who's got the physicality, who could play a shutdown role, can play power play, and the points have started to follow too. So I still think he's kind of like, you know, he's 23. He's kind of the guy that to me would be a pretty solid third pairing defenseman. I feel like, yeah, the offense was there. I feel like just, you know, the size alone, I think teams are going to use him more in a shutdown physical role, but I think he'll be really good at that. So he's the guy that a lot of teams are going to be looking at.
And finally, just quickly, we're hearing some reports out of Vancouver today from a few different areas that Aiden McDonough could sign with the team now that his season is over. What can you tell us about that defensive prospect?
Well, actually, I just posted about him about 5 minutes ago on Daily Faceoff, and this is someone who, you know, he led the Huskies in scoring with 20 goals. He was a seventh-round pick, so for him to kind of go out there and be as good as he was is kind of a bit surprising. I don't think anyone saw this offensive explosion once he went to this level, but going out there scoring a ton of goals, there were some questions like, you know, he had a good USHL final campaign. Was that going to transfer over? And I'd say, yeah, completely. So he is someone where I think Vancouver is going to like him in a bottom six role. His biggest asset is his shot. He's got a very quick release. He's got the size. He doesn't necessarily use it all the time, but I think that's someone who you can be confident in almost throwing in an energy role. And I know sometimes you'll get a lot of smaller guys for that, but he's got the speed. He's got the shot. He's got the physicality. His point totals don't scream going to be a star by any means, and that's why I'm thinking he's more of a bottom six player, but you need guys like that, and I think he's a skilled enough player to hold his own there.
There you go, Mr. Ellis. Aiden McDonough potentially jumping up to the Vancouver Canucks. Going to be interesting to see how he can jump in to their lineup and potentially play a part of their future. Fantastic analysis. As always, you can read his stuff at dailyfaceoff.com, and we'll chat again next week, Steven.
Thanks so much.
Turning things back over to our daily face-off inbox question. You can send them in on Twitter at any time, #AskDFO, or you can put them in our YouTube chat on Daily Face-Off, which is exactly what James Anderson did. And he asks, Mike, what team next season has the potential to make a big jump like the New Jersey Devils did this year? And one team, I'll just go first right off the bat, Mike. What about the Buffalo Sabres? That feels like kind of an obvious one out in the Eastern Conference. They really started to piece it together for a bit down the stretch, falling off a bit as of late, but so much young talent in that organization with more coming. They got a couple of young, exciting goalies. You mentioned Devin Levi, also Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. It feels like a team also has a good coach in Don Granato who has all the pieces, just need the experience. Who's your pick?
Yeah, and I think you go right back to the East and look at Ottawa, especially with Chychrun now being in the fold. I think they probably still need to shore up goaltending because they only have Forsberg under contract for next season. But man, all that talent that's starting to come along, they now have at least three really, really top-end defenders to go with that forward unit with everybody there, including Giroux and Tkachuk and Pinto and Norris and DeBrincat. I mean, just go down the list. So I think those two clubs are going to be fascinating to watch, Tyler, Ottawa and Buffalo. I'm intrigued to see it next season.
Yeah, it's actually interesting when you look at the Eastern Conference, Ottawa, Buffalo, even Detroit could be in the mix for that kind of a conversation. Then you go to the West and look at the teams who are out of the playoffs, and it's like Nashville, Calgary, St. Louis, Vancouver, Arizona, Anaheim. Like, none of those teams seem to have very bright futures.
Well, you just wait until St. Louis hits the lottery and grabs Connor Bedard. And then you see, and then Doug Armstrong swings at two of those first round picks for a big old piece. And next thing you know, St. Louis is at the top of the heap again. You never know what can happen.
With a GM like Doug Armstrong, it would not surprise me in the least, actually, if St. Louis found a way to make some big moves and turn that thing around. Speaking of turning it around, let's get into our daily bets brought to you by PointsBet Canada. And I have a couple of parlays for tonight's slate. Another quiet night, though, in the NHL with only three games on tap after what was a pretty busy Sunday. So let's dig into what I have tonight, starting with an assist parlay. I like the Leafs and I like the Avs tonight, but it's hard to find value. Nathan MacKinnon has assists in two of his last three games. Auston Matthews has an apple in three of his last five. They're both going up against opponents who have really bled goals against as of late and have not been that good keeping pucks out of their net on the year as a whole. So why not bet on MacKinnon and Matthews to each pick up an apple in this one? Like I said, they've been hitting this as of late. You play them together, it's plus 195. That is juicy, and I like juice. Secondly, a shot prop parlay. And I'm doing things a little bit differently than I have in the past, but I'm starting with Max Domi over 1.5. He didn't hit this in his last game, but before that, it was 12 in a row for Domi where he had at least two shots on goal. That's all we need from him tonight. I'm taking the over on Domi and actually the under on Mikko Rantanen. Sometimes star players have their shot props kind of artificially boosted because of the name value. People see them and say, oh, I know that guy, he's good. Mikko Rantanen has probably been Colorado's MVP this season, so his number's all the way up at 3.5. But he actually hasn't hit this mark in 8 straight games. So again, the payout not great at minus 180, but if you play these two together, you're getting it at nearly plus 130 on the parlay, and the trends say these are both pretty likely to happen tonight. So I like going with Rantanen's under and Domi's over parlayed together. So two parlays, both in the plus money territory, and that'll be a wrap courtesy of our friends at PointsBet Canada. Mike, that brings us to garbage time. What do you got picked out from the weekend?
Well, on Friday night, we had a goalie tilt down in the cheeser in the ECHL, Fort Wayne Commons versus the Wheeling Nailers, and Ryan Fanti fought Brad Barone. And it was a pretty lopsided affair. We've got some video here that I think we can run on it, and you see what happens in this. And what I can't understand is why Fort Wayne's player is going absolutely bananas in the background. You got a guy, he's doing the whole team on Fort Wayne here is doing the beaver tail as this fight's going on in the background here. So keep an eye on the players, but there's been something of an epidemic of goalie fights and near goalie fights in the minors lately. Remy Poirier down in Texas fought Yaroslav Askarov of the Milwaukee Admirals in the American League. Pyotr Kochetkov got tossed out of two games consecutively a couple of weekends ago for the Chicago Wolves. And like, this is what this is how rare I guess goalie fights are, but like, check out the Fort Wayne dudes. Like, they're beaver tailing like I've never seen, standing 2 feet away from a fight. Like, you used to back as far away as you possibly could. It's almost like they didn't know what to do, Tyler. You know why? Because this stuff doesn't really happen very often anymore. So it was about as close to a three-ring circus as I've seen in a bit of time. But I just thought it was hysterical to see how Fort Wayne's players reacted to it, because they were just going crazy cheering for these guys, which is – I mean, goalie fights used to happen all the time. They just happened to get off the ice. He didn't cheer them on as they went like this.
Man, Ryan Fanti knows how to throw them too. Those first couple of jabs that he took, I don't think the other side there, I don't think he knew what was coming. Brad Barone, love it, Mike. Love a good goalie tilt. They're good for the game, at least according to some people. I would love to see maybe one more or one this year in the NHL. I know we've had a couple of close calls, like you said.
Close calls.
I love it. A little goalie tilt. A goalie tilt from the jungle. That's going to be a wrap on today's edition of the show. Shout out to everyone who commented along on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, as well as Mike McKenna and Stephen Ellis. We'll be back tomorrow with Frank Saravalli stopping by as well, so you won't want to miss it. Live at noon Eastern. Enjoy your Monday, everybody.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You gotta decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you gotta predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.